This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. State lawmakers are nearing the end of a week-long recess. They will restart budget negotiations next week amid growing tension between the Senate on one side and the House and Governor McCrory on the other. In fact, some of the governor's toughest battles have been with his own party on subjects like state spending and the law that allows magistrates to opt out of performing same-sex marriages. Meanwhile, there are now 20 people, or nearly so, who are running for president in 2016. And here in North Carolina, billionaire Donald Trump is leading the pool of GOP candidates in an early poll, with less than a month before the first Republican debate. Political junkie Ken Rudin is back to talk about the latest in North Carolina politics. Welcome back, Ken.
You know, Frank, I wince of the thought of talking about Donald Trump, but how could you not talk about him? Everybody in the world is talking about him, including Donald Trump, of course.
We will not repeat the repulsive statements that he's made about Mexicans, but we will say that it is in the news, and he's a bona fide candidate for, or at least, nominated himself for GOP presidential candidate.
Well, he is. I mean, there's a PPP poll that has him out, leading North Carolina with 16%. A poll by The Economist that came out today has him leading nationally with 15%. So the way I look at it is Trump, 15%, human beings from Earth, 85%. I mean, I don't know. To me, it's a clown car act. It's one of those car accidents that you just can't help but stare at it when you watch it. But he is touching a nerve, and as abhorrent as some of the things he's saying, so many people are reacting to, there are others who are saying, keep going. And, of course, Democrats love it. I mean, Democrats are having a field day with this.
Well, Republicans, at least from what I've read, are wringing their hands over this. But are they really? I mean, these are early polls, and people know that. And when they answer this poll, they might just be responding in a kind of clown car way. I mean, does the Republican leadership have anything to worry about?
Well, there was a report this week that Reince Priebus, the chairman of the Republican National Committee, spoke to Donald Trump and said, you've got to calm down this rhetoric. This is really hurting the party. And, of course, Donald Trump said, when he was asked about it, he said, he called to congratulate me because I'm doing so well in the polls, although I understand that as soon as the conversation was over, Donald Trump demanded to see Reince Priebus's birth certificate. No, look, 4 years ago at this time, Herman Cain was the front runner for the Republican Party. I mean, he was running into the first in all the polls until he came down very quickly with scandal and things in his past. So I think people are having fun with it. I think if you put Tom Brady or Taylor Swift in a poll, they do well as well. But there is, I still have to say, there is a segment of the Republican Party that, like, and Ted Cruz said it too, that he says it like it is, that our borders are porous and the worst elements are coming in, and there's a certain nativism in the party. I don't know how big it is. Maybe it is only 15%, but who is supporting this kind of rhetoric and this kind of policy.
How does this follow through, though? We'll assume that Donald Trump will soon fall off. There's a likelihood that, as you say, this is a clown car kind of thing. Candidates who never make it to the end are sometimes in first place. But what about this question of racism, of the ethnic slurs? I mean, we see that the Republican Party was, in effect, rescued. Those Republican candidates are rescued from not having to comment on the Confederate flag, rescued by the state of North Carolina or the South Carolina legislature having taken down the flag. Is this an issue that will make them vulnerable in the 2016 election?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of thinking it might make them stronger. I mean, remember Jeb Bush, the ostensible front, the establishment certainly choice for the Republican nomination when he was governor of Florida in 2002. He took down the flag. He said it was offensive. He took it down from the front of the Capitol in Tallahassee and sent it to a museum. And he said it's just the wrong signal. Having the flag up there is the wrong signal. So when you have Donald Trump talking about Mexicans and that they're murderers and rapists, and it allows Jeb Bush to say that this is abhorrent, this is offensive, and so maybe the what happened. I mean, look, God knows that the tragedy of Charleston shouldn't have been the reason why the flag went down. But the point is, it's amazing to me that the flag is gone without the kind of rancor I would have expected from many in the Republican Party. And so maybe it's, in some ways it's a blessing for a more moderate candidate like Jeb Bush.
On the Democratic side, Hillary Clinton has a huge lead. Any indication that another candidate could even come close to her?
Well, it's depending on what you said. Of course, a lot has to do with the upcoming debates. But I mean, you know, that same PPP poll in North Carolina had Hillary Clinton 55-22 over Bernie Sanders. But a new poll in New Hampshire had Sanders within 8 points of Hillary Clinton. Now, I mean, you know, New Hampshire and Iowa are different kind of states. It's lily white. It's a very progressive states, especially in Iowa. The left can do very well. Hillary Clinton finished third in Iowa in 2008. We shouldn't forget to Barack Obama and John Edwards. I'm not allowed to say John Edwards, I know, but you know, I still said it anyway. But I mean, you still have debates to go. It's still July. Howard Dean was the big front runner this time in 2003. Sometime, I mean, you could make the case that as exciting as Bernie Sanders is to the progressives and to the media, because God knows we don't want a coronation, it's very possible he could be peaking too early, and Hillary Clinton's big strength among women, with money, with organization around the states, will win in the end. And actually, that is what I think will happen.
You got to admit, Ken, you would love a presidential race between Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump. Wouldn't that? I mean, that's it. That's the argument. Let's have it. Let's have it, America. Is it billionaire capitalist or is it socialism? Let's vote on that. 2016.
Remember that great scene in Airplane when Lori Bridges says, "I picked a bad day to stop taking amphetamines." I mean, that's exactly right. But the thing is, look, I'm not criticizing Bernie Sanders and I'm not criticizing Ted Cruz. These are people and they're ideologues, but they believe in what they say. Donald Trump is just... everything he stands for, to me, is just wrong. I mean, to say that, you know, Russia is stupid and ISIS is an idiot and Jeb Bush is a jerk. I mean, that's, you know, that sounds like the old, it used to be the Daily News in New York where you know, people would just write all these I'm fed up letters to the editor. And that's Donald Trump. He also gave money to Harry Reid. So he's all over the place. And you know, he's about Donald Trump, and
that's,
you know,
the deal. Well, listen, let's move on here because the Supreme Court issued a historic decision to end at the end of June regarding same-sex marriage. Opponents across the country are still pushing back, including right here in North Carolina. A law recently passed allowing magistrates to opt out of conducting same-sex marriages. The courts will have a final say on that one. What's the political fallout, though, nationally, and sort of how do you think it plays out here in North Carolina?
Well, you know, something we keep saying that, you know, the country has come a long way. They've moved so fast on same-sex marriage, but then you see those 14 magistrates in North Carolina allowing to opt out of marriages. The attorney general in the state of Texas said all these magistrates, all they have to do is claim religious liberties and religious beliefs, and they could opt out of it. Actually, there were 14 states, you know, who didn't approve of same-sex marriage prior to the Supreme Court decision. There are some, like Mississippi and Louisiana, who are still not recognizing it. It is, but it seems like In the scheme of things, more and more people are saying, look, it's not affecting me. What people want to do in their own privacy is fine with me. And that's one of those issues that really seem to have moved so quickly in public opinion.
That's a point of contention, of course, between Governor McCrory and the Senate, particularly, that pushed that bill, although the legislature did finally approve it. Another point of contention between the governor and this time definitely the Senate is who selects members of certain state commissions. Kind of a separation of powers case, again, a fight between the legislature and the governor. So talk a little bit more about this and how it plays out politically in the state of North Carolina.
Well, this is a big theme, Frank. We've talked on your show for a long time, and deservedly so, because unlike so many Republican governors around the country, I mean, McCrory's battles have been with the Republican legislature. His problems are less about Roy Cooper, at least at the moment, and more with Phil Berger in the House. So, of course, having, you know, worked for so long for Duke Energy, the governor did. So the legislature wanted to put up this independent commission that was allowed, you know, to investigate the coal ash commission.
Right.
And by doing so, the legislature decided that they could name people, members to that commission, because it's independent and they wanted to take it away from the governor. But I think the courts have decided, and former governors like Jim Martin and Jim Hunt have also decided, that this is the governor's responsibility. It's the governor's obligation to appoint these guys. And of course, that will go to the courts. But I suspect that this is just part of the ongoing battle between McCrory and the legislature that's not going to help his campaign for his bid for second term next year.
Well, attorneys are also getting ready to argue a case that has to do with North Carolina's election law, voter ID provision in particular. That trial starts Monday. Is this something that other states are watching?
See, the whole country is watching this because, I mean, you know, since the Supreme Court weakened the Voting Rights Act in 2013, a number of states have passed restrictive voting bills, perhaps not so much as drastic as North Carolina. They ended same-day registration. They reduced the early voting period by a week. They ended same-day registration. They have to have the photo ID. There are minority groups, African Americans, Democrats are saying this is restricting and hurting African American turnout. Republicans are saying this is nonsense. As you could see in 2014, it didn't hurt black turnout. In fact, it's all about election fraud, which most people are saying is very negligible to begin with. But the nation is watching what's going on in North Carolina because it is the key state in rolling back voting rights since the Supreme Court acted in 2013.
All right, Ken, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Frank. Can we talk more about Donald Trump?
Next week. Okay. Although, you know, in 3 weeks, you know he's going to be off the map entirely. So it's a good thing we had that conversation today.
Thank you, Frank.
Ken Rudin, political junkie. You can find out more about Ken at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, a new performance by award-winning choreographer Bill T. Jones, who joins us on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay tuned.